and welcome to Radio Gaga at Plymouth FM 104.6, sharing life and experiences from disabled people, by disabled people, for disabled people. Each week, we bring you stories based around our multiple abilities. You don't have to wait any longer to listen to insightful views, news, and reviews from around your community. We invite you to join us as we show you our community. Radio Gaga wants you to understand our dreams for a truly inclusive Auckland.
Welcome to Radio Gaga 104.6. My name is Mel and I'm in studio with Josh today. How are you today, Josh?
Good. My name is Joshua and I have Williams syndrome, and Mel is here with me today who has a vision impairment.
That's right, I do. But it doesn't stop us from being on the radio, does it?
No.
So how's your course been going, Josh?
It's been going very good.
Have you gone
any? I'm proud of my course. It's really changed the way I thought that it was going to be, and everything's all changing around, and summer's coming up, and I'm looking forward to it because we get to have barbecues, of course.
Yummy. You have to invite me along.
Yummy.
And I've heard you've been to the airport. Did you see any cool planes?
No, but we went into a special room where only high-end people can go into.
Nice. So you're an expert in aviation now?
Not really.
One day you'll be able to fly me around the world. Well, on today's show, we have an interview with Raz Smith, a blind man from Wellington. And he's a wine connoisseur and a world traveller, and he's also into surfing. So surf's up, everyone. And after our first song by Shawn Mendes, we'll listen to Ra and we'll get an insight into his life. Here's the song by Shawn Mendes, "There's Nothing Holding Me Back."
I want to follow where she goes. I think about her and she knows it. I wanna let it take control, 'cause every time that she gets closer, she pulls me in enough to keep me guessing. And maybe I should stop and start confessing, yeah. Oh, I've been shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions, baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation, manipulate my decisions, baby, there's nothing holding me back. She says that she's never afraid. Just picture everybody naked. She really doesn't like to wait. Not really into hesitation. Holds me in enough to keep me guessing. Oh, and maybe I should stop and start confessing. Confessing, yeah. Oh, I've been shaking, I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions, baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation, manipulate my decisions, baby, there's nothing holding me back. Last time I think we took it way too far. I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright if you were by my side. When we stumbled in the dark, I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright. 'Cause if we last time I think we took it way too far. I know we'd be alright. I know we would be alright if you were by my side. We stumbled in the dark, I know we'd be alright. I love it when you go crazy. You take all my inhibitions, baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me. places that tear up my reputation, manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back. There's nothing holding me back. I feel so free when you're with me, baby. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
Hi, Ra. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Yeah, real good. Yep, just been on this employment course up here in Auckland, mixing and mingling with a bunch of very diverse fellow blind people. So, yeah, it's been a highly enlightening course, actually.
Were you the troublemaker over this last week?
I wouldn't say I was the sole troublemaker. Maybe a bit of an instigator here and there, but, definitely like to dabble in mischief, for sure.
That's great. I like troublemakers and people that give each other a hard time. So tell me, Ra, how did you lose your sight, if you're comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, totally. So I was in a car accident when I was 18. Had a boy racer come around a corner on the wrong side of the road going too fast. And basically, he was playing with his stereo and looked up, saw that he was on the wrong side of the road, jerked the steering wheel to correct, car spun out, went down a bank, went off the road and went down a bank. And we basically witnessed this, and so we slowed right down. I was in the passenger seat, and I had my seatbelt on, but I was leaning forward in my seat because we'd just witnessed this car career out of control and disappeared down the bank. And then the car hit this bank on a really weird angle and rebounded back up onto the road and smashed into us. And the last thing that I saw of 2020 was this car emerging from the left-hand side of the road out of this ditch and smashed into us, and my head went into the windscreen and I got lots of glass in my eyes.
Shit, well, you didn't think that that would happen to you because you witnessed something catastrophic happening first and then you didn't realise it was going to happen to you next.
Exactly.
So that was the last thing you saw. And do you think about what you saw, the last thing, a lot? Does that come up a lot for you?
It doesn't plague my day-to-day life or anything like that. Like, I do have to, I do explain it to people because a lot of people are curious about it, so they'll say, you know, how are you blind? So I'll relay it. But, yeah, it's not, like, I don't have nightmares about it or anything like that.
That's great. I'm glad you don't. So tell me about your life before you lost your sight, right?
Well, I dropped out of school when I was 15. I'm from the west coast of the South Island, a little wee seaside village called Punakaiki, which is home to quite an array of eccentric and creative people. And I basically, like, grew up surfing. Surfing was my whole life. Live and breathe it. I get up real early in the morning and go surfing, and go surfing in the afternoon, go surfing in the evening. So when I dropped out of school, I basically moved in with a bunch of kind of, not to be too demeaning, but kind of ragtag, hippie, creative people. And basically partied my ass off, took a lot of drugs, and went surfing. And I was just starting to do a computer course at the time of the accident to kind of upskill my computer ability.
So you were living the life?
I was living a life, yeah. I wouldn't say that people should aspire to that kind of life, maybe, but it had rock star quality to it. Very cool people. And the coast itself is lush, it's beautiful, and has some amazing surf. And I guess my what I had in mind for my life at that stage, basically, was to buy a station wagon and travel up and down New Zealand surfing and smoking pot, really.
Sweet for some people. So have you tried surfing since?
I have, yeah. I've tried a few times. The conditions kind of have to be quite right. The surf on the coast has a little bit more volatility than other surf spots. But on when the surf, you know, close to full tide with an offshore wind, around 2 foot of swell, breaking right-handers, then, yeah, it can be done. And, yeah, I'll go out with some mates and they'll, you know, say, oh, this one, rah, you know, paddle. Yeah, and so I've still got all the motions and stuff there, but it's just the wave is not consistent. So definitely a dream that I've got is to maybe retire sounds like a bad word to use, but kick it back in Indonesia or Bali or some place that has a really nice, gentle, consistent wave, consistent break, and the water's warm, and yeah, I don't have to kind of worry about that stuff.
Sounds lovely, Ryan. So I've heard that you've travelled overseas and you've been blind while doing that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I used to go over to Thailand periodically every winter when it started to get a bit nippy in New Zealand. I'd go to Thailand for kind of anywhere from 3 to 5 months and because I had friends over there. So I'd go and hang out with them and, you know, travel all up and down around Thailand and up into Malaysia and down into Burma and, yeah. But I would mainly do that with people, with friends and friends that I'd meet over there. But, yeah, I've traveled through the Pacific Islands, for most of the Pacific Islands, and I've traveled through Europe. And so 2 years ago, I went to Europe by myself and traveled around Europe by myself. And that was, like, probably the biggest and challengingest solo travel that I've done. I had friends scattered all throughout Europe, but I went to a lot of places where I didn't know anybody and had to find my own accommodation and get myself around the towns and cities and villages, and yeah, it was awesome. I had a wicked time. I met so many amazing people, and yeah, just a fantastic experience.
Fantastic. And what gave you the belief that you could do that on your own? Because I know a lot of disabled people wouldn't just never think of doing that.
Well, I don't know if I think that was the challenge in itself, where I didn't know if I had that ability to do that. But I thought I would just chuck myself in the deep end and see how I went. Like, at the end of the day, I knew I had a flexi plane ticket, so if shit hit the proverbial fan, I could just call it quits, jump on a plane, and go home. That was my kind of out, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I was definitely nervous. I didn't kind of go into it, you know, arms swinging, thinking that I was going to rule the roost or whatever. But I kind of, yeah, usurped my own idea of myself, I guess. Blew my own mind.
Absolutely. And do you think that would be your biggest accomplishment so far? Or would you, I mean, how do you feel when you accomplish something?
I wouldn't say, like, it's hard to say kind of what has maybe been, because everything has its own level of accomplishment, and that's definitely been kind of a shining feather in my cap for sure. But you know, I've done quite a lot of study, and that's also been massively accomplishing. And just being blind, you get thrown a lot of curveballs. You know, there's a lot of day to day stuff, just so much stuff that gets thrown at you that you have to get around. And it's just, you know, kind of how you deal with it, how you shape it. So yeah, it's hard to kind of pinpoint what has been the biggest accomplishment, I guess. But I guess maybe if we're going to wrap it in entirety, kind of just turning blindness into a fun and exciting thing has been an accomplishment.
Now we have Ra's favourite song by the Flaming Lips called the Yeah 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 song.
Oh. quit. I didn't make it all the way through that.
Great song, Ra. Next week we'll play part two of Ra Smith's interview, so stay tuned for that. I wanted to talk to Josh today about what's happening in Houston, Texas, in the USA. So tell us what's been happening over there, Josh.
It's pretty shocking. It was a big tornado, and it came over and destroyed half of a bit of Texas.
I believe it was a really huge hurricane, four out of five on the scale.
4.5.
Jeez, wow. And have you ever been in something like that yourself, Josh?
No.
I haven't either. I'm a bit scared of the volcanoes in Auckland. Mm. So what would you do in an emergency like that?
Well, if I was over there right now, I'll make sure that I have a special type of a bunker that would be home-built, basically, to protect my family and all my friends. And I'll make sure that everyone on my... Well, I'll try my best to make sure everyone on my street is safe and well and fed and looked after.
And a place for me too, right, Josh?
Mm.
But seriously, though, if you have a disability, it's probably really important to think about your emergency plan. And even you hear power companies saying, tell us if you have a disability or an accessibility need just in case the power goes off, and have a backup generator if you need it. But if there is a natural disaster or a catastrophic emergency like Houston, Texas has had, you'd need a plan of action, especially if you have a disability like being in a wheelchair or in a walking frame or a physical disability, or a disability where you need support, emotional support from a service dog or from other people. So I read a blog post where it said that if you have a disability, you could go to a senior citizen home and they should have mobility equipment there just in case there is an emergency, like wheelchairs and walking frames and ventilators and service dogs to support you. And have an evacuation plan for senior citizens and people with disabilities that is all prepared and on the move to go to before the actual disaster comes. So what would you do in an emergency if you didn't have a bunker, Josh? Would you...
I'll make sure I'll get somewhere safely and have a prayer and hope for the best.
See, because the officials of Texas, they didn't evacuate the city because it was like 17 million people that they would have to evacuate, so they didn't make a state of emergency to evacuate people, and the most vulnerable people in the city didn't get the help that they needed, and like 18 senior citizens in a rest home were trapped and they had to be rescued, but it could have been prevented if they had an emergency evacuation plan and they were told to get out of the city before it even happened. So their officials in their city let them down, and I would be disgusted by that if that happened here in Auckland.
I'm going to say this, and if I was a president, I'll make sure that we go to the city and we make sure that everyone is safe and fed and had a home and had somewhere to go to, and if not, I'll find another place for them.
Well, thankfully, New Zealand and Auckland is in a safe enough position at the moment, but it's always important to have your emergency kit available.
Yes.
And what do you have in your emergency kit, Josh?
I'll have lights and a nice warm blanket and some food and a phone. Definitely, you need a phone.
Definitely. And having a plan A and a plan B of how to get out of the city or save yourself and your family, especially if you have an access need or a disability.
If you have a disability, you need to go to emergencies.com and have a look on how you can learn about disasters just learn about all types of disasters and ways that you can help yourself if you're ever in a disaster.
I'd like to thank our sponsors, Renaissance Group, a supporting living provider in Auckland. You can find them at www.renaissancegroup.co.nz. Thank you, Renaissance Group, for being there for us in our emergencies and being there for all our needs. Would you like to say anything else, Josh?
Yes, thank you for having me today.
You're welcome. And we wish Texas, Houston, the very best, don't we?
Love you all, America. Thank you.
Our last song for today is Guns N' Roses' Sweet Child of Mine. Enjoy your week.
Yeah.